Good morning. It's a pleasure to see you all this morning. And as usual, we'll have this will be available for those in the parking lot this morning, and also it will be available in the webcast, and it's also on the radio this morning for 99.1. So it's good to have you with us this morning. Good to have you if you're a visitor here with us this morning. It's always a pleasure to see you. And Brother Ron, it's good to see you, and we'll have you talking. We'll talk to you in a little bit later on. Let's have a word of prayer. Open up. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. And now, Lord, go with us as we go forward in the service today. And these many blessings I pray in your name. Amen. I think I made a bad mistake right on the start. I think I called you Ron, and I had Ron on my mind from the prayer request, but it's Daryl. So Daryl is, he's the one. We're not going to have a Ron Honeycutt preaching this. Oh my goodness. So I told you, Jeff, to look after me, but you didn't. Anyway, it's good to see you all this morning. Pardon me? I'm not going to blame it on him. That's my fault there. We're going to sing a hymn soon, as we always do every Sunday morning. And we've got birthdays to do today, too, and we'll do the birthdays first, okay? So let's just, here are the birthdays for the month of August. Christine Sasser, August 1. Chris Whitley, August the 6th. Charlie Snyder, August the 10th. Amy Whitley, August the 11th. Cynthia Yao, August 19th. Tony Eford, August the 20th. And Gail Perkins, August the 21st, and Janice Williams, August the 28th. Did I miss anyone? All right, give me a key over there, lady, and we'll sing Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to And our anniversaries for the month of August, we have one, Janet McCord Barbie, August the 2nd. And that's tomorrow, right? Okay, McCord, you got things special already lined up? You need any suggestions or anything? How many years, McCord? 52? Well, praise the Lord. Give him a hand if you don't. All right. Let's now go to our hymn sing. There's something about that name. It'll be up on the board for you as we stand together. They sing, there's something about that name. Let's sing it twice. It's a short little hymn, and so let's do it together, and we'll sing it twice, okay?
Savior Jesus, like the fragrance.
Said, amen. Reach around and say good morning to somebody and talk to us. Say good morning. Thank you, Kathy. All right, I have some announcements for you this morning, and we'll go over our announcements together this morning. And first thing, of course, I want us to welcome everybody again to our worship time, and to make sure that that you know that it's available a little after 12, maybe 12:30, something like that, on the webcast will be available to you there. Today, our pastor is away on vacation, and we pray for them and for travel mercy, he and Pamela. But today, we do have Reverend Daryl Honeycutt, who will be with us today and to worship with us today and to preach the message. Children worship will also be going on today as usual. As a matter of fact, we'll continue on with the schedule that we have, and that is Sunday school will be at 9, and then we'll have our worship at 10. So keep that in mind, and always remind people. I know I was talking to someone about our homecoming and the visiting minister that I had invited to come, to Brother Terry. I forgot to tell him that the service started at 10, and I just sitting there, and I better call him. He'll be here late. And so I called him. He said, you better be thankful you called me. I said, yes, sir, I did. And so also, I got to tell you, I also, Brother Daryl, I checked on, made sure you got the message too. So that's good. He's here, and we'll go forward. Let's go over the announcements, and if we can, please. Wednesday night will be our Bible study. It starts at 6:30. You all come and be with us. We've been having a good time in Bible study. So I ask you to come and enjoy being with us. With Bible school. Bible school is going to be starting here August the 7th, and it'll be an 8:45 start. We will have all classes, and by the way, we will have an adult class, and so be sure that you adults know that you're invited at 8:45 for breakfast, and we'll continue on about 1 o'clock. We'll wrap it up. You can tell by this going on behind me that it's Bible school time, and so Aaron, we appreciate all the things that you've already done in preparation for that. And you and Michelle B., I know, have worked hard to make sure. I know you'll recognize those when time comes, and I know that, but we appreciate that so much. Bible school is a very important part of our service here at Barbis Grove. Okay, next Sunday, of course, will be the same schedule we've had before. And choir practice. We'll have choir practice next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Today, we will have a call conference at the end of this service today for deacon election, so please stay in your place after the service this morning, after today, when Brother will have after the preaching service, okay? And I believe I've covered the announcement. Did I miss anything? Anybody? Oh, yes, there will be a covered, thank you so much. We will have a covered dish meal after the homecoming on the 15th. And I do have some other things planned. If everything comes together, we'll have some surprises for you. But I'll know that Monday if that works. So I can't announce it right now. But I do have some things planned ahead to do that. But please plan to be here. Reverend Terry Burris will be our minister, our visiting minister. Okay? All righty. That completes the announcements for this morning. Now, following along with our Sunday school lesson this morning, we're going to have our prayer request, and we do take time to mention the prayer request and needs of our church, and we'll continue to do that. I've got those that I know about. I have Travis Hathcock that's battling cancer, Ruth Eford as she is preparing for cataract surgery Monday, Angela Frick. Let's keep her in our prayers. This is a serious situation with her, and the prognosis and all the things ahead of her does not look great, and I won't tell you that. Just be honest with you. So please keep her in your prayers. I'm not at liberty to give you any more information because, quite frankly, it's been kind of sketchy because more tests have to be ran. So, but just know that it's a serious situation. Let's remember Pastor Ed and Pamela this morning as they're traveling, and McCord Barbie, he's got a praise report, I know, but he still needs our prayers as he is convalescing from eye surgery. Let's remember that. Miss Shirley Edwards, she's having some blood issues, some blood anemic issues, and let's keep Miss Shirley in our prayers always. Tammy Hamilton has been requested this morning as she is battling COVID. Let's remember her. And Ron Honeycutt has a liver transplant, I believe, right? That's all the prayer requests. I need to give you an update on Miss Nail. Miss Nail is doing better, right? She's walking, and she didn't think she could, but she is. And so amen for that. That's a praise report right there if I've ever heard it. So that's good. Now, do we have any requests? Other requests this morning?
Yeah, yes. My best friend had a stroke Tuesday.
Yes.
Eddie Ballard.
Who?
Eddie Ballard.
Eddie Ballard. Okay.
And he came home from the hospital the day before yesterday, but he's sleeping all the time.
Okay.
It's like he can't get away.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Will. Okay. Yeah, you better get used to it, Will. I mean, no question. It's a lot ahead of you, son. But you know what? I'm proud of you. At least you're getting a worker's permit and you're willing to work.
I know exactly where I want to work. I want to work at Rockford
Springs. All right. Well, I'll be right there. I'll be right there eating some fish. Are you not going to cook, are you?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can kid him when I can't kid nobody else, and that's the truth. All right. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. And Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, before we ask you, Lord, for anything at all, we say thank you. Thank you for the blessings we've already shared this morning, the praise reports that we've shared. But then, Lord, there are those that need your touch. And, Lord, we know that you're able, as we said this morning, God is able. There's nothing we could ask you, Lord, that you can't do. What a promise that is. And so now, Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, I want to lift these people up to you specifically because, Lord, I think you expect us to be specific with our prayer requests. We lift up Daryl Hathcock as he is battling cancer this morning. We pray for Miss Ruth as she goes into cataract surgery. And then, Lord, for Miss Angela Frick, Lord, we pray for her condition, Lord, and we pray for your will in her life. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch her body. And we pray for healing for her because we know you're able. We pray for Pastor Ed and Pamela as they're traveling today. We pray, Lord, for traveling mercy for them. From McCord, we thank God that the surgery is over and that success is there. But, Lord, he has convalescing to do. We pray for him. Pray, Lord, that you restore his sight to normal degree. Pray for Miss Shirley, Lord, and the blood issues that she's having. Lift her up. And then for Tammy Hamilton and the COVID situation she's dealing with, Lord, we pray for her. Ron Honeycutt and the liver transplant, we pray for him, Lord. Lord, we pray for, as we go forward in this service today, we pray for Brother Darrell as he has come with us today, Lord, to preach the sermon. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will give him liberty. And we, Lord, we want him to have liberty to pray and to preach today. We lift him up to you. Then, Lord, we pray for the lost, if there be someone that does not know you. And, Lord, help us to be burdened for the lost, we pray. Now, go with us for the further continuation of this service today. And these blessings, Lord, I will be humbly and say, Lord, that you did it all. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, choir, if we will, come on up here. We're going to do what the old folks used to do. We're going to call up a choir. Do you remember that, Daryl? Do you remember seeing that done before? And so we'll get on up here and do this. No, we had our Bible school.
That's not formal.
We had our Bible school situation set up and we didn't have. We left the chairs away, so.
Well, I'm not going to get up there.
Yeah.
You all right, Ann?
I'm fine.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pick on you there.
I know. I'll fall on this city.
just remember, there's a crane behind you. That's one more for you. You can. One more, Will.
I'm scared of heights, you know.
You know, our choir is so good to have them back. We've not had our choir back very long, Daryl. We we've been out and because of COVID, and so I'm just tired of that COVID word. But someday we'll, God will see fit to take it and throw it away. You do away with it. Praise the Lord when that happens. But our choir's back, and we're going to sing a song that talks about worship. Now is the time to worship, and it indeed is.
Now is the time to give your all. kids, the children are now dismissed. A little traveling music, Wes. My pleasure to be able to introduce to you today. I don't think he needs introduction. He's been with us before. One thing I do remember about Brother Darrell is he preaches boldly, and there's no doubt about it, and I think that's wonderful. You know, John the Baptist would be proud of him, I think. Don't you? I believe he would be. So if anybody's here planning on just taking a little snooze or something, I wouldn't recommend it, because it won't happen. I love this man. He's a wonderful man of God, and you'll find that out. If you don't already love him, you will before it's over with. You make welcome, if you would, please, a barber's group. Welcome, Brother Darrell Honeycutt. You come and close this service the way you see fit.
I love Brother Leonard, although he called me Ron. But those things happen when we travel these roads too much. We have a tendency sometimes to sort of forget names or something, but that just lets us know that we're human and that God knows it, and that's all that matters if we're trying to please our Lord. But I love your pastor and Miss Pam, sweet, sweet people. And Brother Ed and I have known each other a long, long time. Brother Ed and I both married way, way above ourselves. And so we're very thankful for that. And I'm grateful for his ministry here with you wonderful folks at Barbie's Grove. I remember very well back in that day. I enjoyed myself as I came and had the privilege to speak and preach a few times for you. Well, I've been busy. God's using me to stay busy through our association, helping pastors when they're sick, on vacation, out of town, whatever those things come up. And matter of fact, I see where Pastor Terry Burris is going to be here, and I'm going to be there. So I love preachers, and God's allowed me to have this privilege now for over 40 years, and I'm most humbled. I'm a very protector of God's Word, and I love the ministry. And I want to tell you right up front, Jerry Kelly right over there. Jerry, I'm not going to tell your age, but way back in the day, I worked with Jerry in a Hartsville funeral home. I'd just been discharged from the United States Air Force, and Jeff interviewed me, and Jerry interviewed me, and we began a friendship that goes on to this day. And I haven't saw Mr. and Mrs. Kelly in a long, long time, and it's so good to see you guys, and bless your heart. And Bobby Williams back there, he helped me get connected this morning when way back in the day. I declare we're moving along. But it's good to be with you good folks here at Barbie's Grove in a beautiful country out here, beautiful country. And so thank you for this wonderful invite. And I promise you that I've come to minister to you in the Word of God through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I've not come to beat you up. I've come to cheer you up in our worship and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter number 2. My dear ones here this morning, our church, God's church, is in a great battle for our roots and what we believe in according to the Word of God. We honor probably the heaviest attack we've ever been in the history of our great nation. Our world is in a mess. And we need to get back to the basics of ministering the Word and taking a stand boldly for what thus saith the Lord Jesus. He said it. I can't improve it. I can't add to it. And I certainly don't want to take away from it because I'd be in great danger. And so I want to be obedient. And so I told Brother Ed just about a week or so ago, we served on a council together in our association, a young man that I recommended to welcome in our association that I interim there for about 6 months. And I told him, I said, you ain't getting me. Y'all got Ed. And they worked on me hard. I said, Pastor Durrell, wouldn't you please consider? I said, no. I want to be free to go and do what I'm doing today. God's really worked on me in my last quarter. I'm still bold, but maybe not as loud as I used to be. So, and I would never apologize because Brother Leonard made that very clear. And so thank you for this honor and this privilege. And thank you, Pastor Ed and Miss Pam. So, what's taking place in Acts chapter 2? We're gonna go back about 2,000 or more years ago, and we're going to visit the first century church of Jerusalem and how God created a great beginning on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come and birth in us the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad this morning that you've been birthed in the Holy Spirit? How Christ, how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost can live within us and all be one. That's because He's God and He's the only God. Amen. And so I've chosen Him, and guess what? He's chosen us. And so we're part of the family of God. And so what's happening is, they had been in the upper room, 120, and the Holy Spirit visited it just like God said it would, just like Joel the prophet prophesied that it would happen, and it happened. And they were filled and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And they came down out of that place, and Peter was on fire. He had been endued by the Holy Spirit, and he began to preach there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says there was a multitude. Well, how many is a multitude? Well, some in our day would say maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. But Jewish tradition says that a multitude is 10,000 people. But they were coming in from all over, you could say, the world in Europe. And they were coming because they'd heard about this great movement of the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to hear it. And so Peter preached, and if you read it, Peter preached, he was standing up loudly proclaiming the gospel. And, well, think about it. If there's 10,000 people there, you can't whisper because they're not going to hear you, and I don't think they had mics back in those days, so. And Peter had been endued and filled with the Spirit of God. And man, he began to do some fiery preaching. And people fell under conviction. And the Bible says that 3,000 souls were saved. Brother Jerry, I can preach 3,000 sermons. If one gets saved, I'm pretty good shape. But on that day, they recorded that 3,000 people gave their heart to Jesus. Aren't you glad on that day in your life when you gave your heart to Jesus? Amen. I remember it very clearly. I was just a little 9-year-old lad. And so God's been so good to me, and I can see he's been good to you and to Barbie's Grove. And so the Bible makes it very clear, and we'll be looking today at verses 41, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. And if you needed a subject, you don't always have to have a subject to preach the word. Peter didn't give a sermon. He was preaching a sermon, but he didn't. No, I didn't see where he gave a subject. But anyway, I'd like to use this subject, what God intended, what every church are to be. And I believe Barbie's Grove is living up to that expectation, what a church are to be. And I don't believe the gospel today is for sale. And we need to understand that Peter was preaching and ministering to thousands of people, and they were becoming under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and many repented, saved, and they were baptized. And so I'm glad that Jesus has called me. I know he's called me because I couldn't do this without a calling. And so I'm honored. And so the church has got to stay alive. We're not dead. We just need to get a little more energetic. And we don't need to be frightened. I don't like to use the word COVID either, Brother Leonard, because literally the government has done what they set out to do, is scare and frighten us to death. And they've done a good job. And I'm not downing COVID. I believe it's real, but I don't believe it's no more real than the flu is. And so if you read statistics on how many have died this year because of other things, you will see that it far, far exceeds the deaths of those who had COVID. And so anyway, we want to be protected, don't we? And we want to be guarded, and we want to do what God wants us to do. But it's time for the church to understand that with all that's happening and the persecution that the church is under, and how we are trying to be stripped of our worshiping freely, folks, if we, God's children, the true church, doesn't come together and speak out, I don't know what these next 3 years, we could be stripped of what we're doing right now. And I don't want that. And I don't believe God's going to allow that. He just may say, son, it's time to go and get my children. And guess, I'm out of here. Are you going to go if the rapture takes place? Amen. So let's move along here. I looked up there when I first got there. I was, oh my goodness, 10:30. I got an hour and a half. And I've got to get adjusted to that. And but Brother Ed did text me. He said, don't you forget, now it's 10 o'clock. And so, all right. Well, this is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. But let's pray. Father, we look now into your word, the authenticated, inerrant, infallible, inspired word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, today for your word and for our copy that we have in our hands right this moment. I believe it with all my heart, and Lord, I just want to proclaim it and preach it and be faithful and finish well until you call me home. Lord, we pray now, God, for this church body. I pray for the dear pastor and the wonderful pastor's wife, Miss Pam, is their way spending time with family and friends and loved ones. Please bring them back safe to their church family here at Barbie's Grove. Bless our great nation, Lord. Bless all those little children, Lord, that's being aborted. Oh, God, have mercy on us. There will be an accountability one day, Lord, for all the evil and the corruption that's going on. So, Father, help me this morning to be obedient, Lord, to preach and minister your word with compassion and be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. We praise you, we honor you, and all of God's children said, amen. The Bible says in verse 41, then they, who is Peter making reference today to here? Who is they? Well, that's this 10,000 people that's gathered there, and they listen to Peter preach in the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And he really laid it out there. And it certainly, according to the Word of God, it pricked their hearts. What does the word prick mean? It means to pierce. But they fell under conviction and they repented, and many gave their hearts to Jesus and followed in believers' baptism. So that is who they are. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. That's important. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thank God for the privilege to open His Bible and read His Word. And so I would encourage you to read the Word of God. Spend time daily in the Word. And I try to do that. I spend a lot of time at night from probably after midnight to 6 o'clock in the morning, because I wake up a lot and can't sleep. And so I just grab my version of my Bible and just start reading the Word of God and studying it, and won't be long until I'm ready to try to go back to sleep. Well, what a way to go to sleep with the Lord Jesus just letting you study His Word. Amen? And so what about the church? Now, driving over here through the country and then seeing Barbie's Grove, I saw a structure with a temple on it. That is not the church. That's your building. The true church is the believers, those who are born again. We're the family. I said we are the family. We're joint heirs together with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's our Heavenly Father. And so we can cry out to Him as our Father. Amen. And He's always there for us. So the church is a group of God's people. The Greek word would be ecclesia, and which means a called out assembly, a group of God's wonderful people. Younger in my ministry, I would be very, very courageous and very, very bold in my ministering and pastoring, and God blessed it. I think a lot of that came from the background of me spending 34 years in the military. I was in the military during the Vietnam crisis, served in Southeast Asia, and served in the United States abroad in several locations and around the world. And as a military soldier, when you go to battlefield, you've got to be bold, and you've got to dress up and be ready as a soldier. Well, God promoted me to a private in His army, and I retired a master sergeant. And so sort of like a first sergeant. And from that, God called me to the ministry. And God's still calling me. He called me here today because of your pastor. He had confidence in me and trust in me. And he and I make up a part of the church. And we love each other. And a matter of fact, I said just recently at the ordination council, Brother Ed sat to my left. And I looked around, I said, there's a lot of experience at this table. And I said, Brother Ed, to my left, I said, we've been together a long time in the ministry. And I said, you know, the unique thing about God's church and God's people, we're different. And we all come from different backgrounds. And I told Brother Ed right there in the council, I said, me and Brother Ed loves each other to death. But when we get in this pulpit, we have our personality, what God's given to us, and we are who we are. And I've always honored that. And He has always honored me. And that's what makes it work, folks, is we got to love each other through the process. And so here is what Martin Luther King said about church. the real church. And I quote, "Yes, I see the church as the body of Christ, but oh, how we have blemished and scarred that body through social neglect and through fear of being nonconformist." Is that not true today? I'm telling you, we're under great attack. I don't want us to be overrun by the enemy. And based on God's word, if we will stand and proclaim and minister the word of God and minister it in truth and led by the Holy Spirit and through the love of God, the church will not go down. We are headed upward, upward and away to a heavenly city that God's prepared for us who love Him. Aren't you glad you've been born again and love Jesus Christ? Dwight L. Moody said, and I quote, "Church attendance is vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man." Well, there's a lot of truth in that, amen? And so the first church, the first century church in Jerusalem, they began and they had it all together. Man, they were one big happy family. And they were just doing everything what the writer of Acts is telling us, Dr. Luke. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, I'm pretty excited right now. I'm pretty excited because I get to stand here today and boldly minister the Word of God to you in love. And I'm glad that you people like to hear the gospel in the ministry because you have that kind of pastor. He is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And we're not ashamed to let the world know that we are strong conservatives and we belong and we're part of the great Southern Baptist Convention. Hey, folks, it's under attack too. I'm telling you, folks, we've got to stay ready and stay dressed up. And I believe the King is coming soon. And so, praise the Lord. The overall theme of the book of Acts is the activity of the Holy Spirit working in the heart of God's church, the people. And so this church was off to a fantastic start. And they were all filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit, had taken up residence in their hearts and their homes. They were worshiping and praising God. I like that. Man, I love the hymn. Brother Leonard, you led them in this morning and we've come to worship and I'm sitting there. Okay, Lord, that's another approval that I'm right where I need to be. We've come into this place to enter it and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are the body of Christ. And we are His children, and He loves His children. And He wants us to dig in, and He wants us to work. I like that young man, what he had to say. Man, he wants to get a job and go to work. Isn't that unusual? Isn't that unusual? What they want today, everybody wants a free ride. Amen? And guess what? Our government's going to give it to them. So the sad news is, I'm not ashamed of working. I always did. Young man, I want you to know I went to work when I was 12 years old, hopping the curb at a restaurant, making 50 cents an hour. Okay? Now, if they don't pay you more than that in the fish house in 2021, you need to go talk to your boss.
I'm just hoping to make at least $5 an hour.
Good deal. And then make 25 more an hour on tips. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be all right. And anyway... I want to share a story with you. I heard the story of the great revival that swept through a country church, something like Barbie's Grove, perhaps. One night they were having a testimony meeting. It was exciting to hear. A man stood up and proclaimed, "I've been drinking, but God has gotten a hold of me and I'm going to quit it." When the saints heard him, they shouted and cheered, "Hallelujah, that's revival." Another man stood and said, "I've been stealing, but God has gotten a hold on me and I'm going to quit it." Once again, there was loud affirmation and applause, and the folks shouted, "Hallelujah, that's revival." This went on and on through the evening. There was one confession after another. People were vowing to quit this or that. At last, there was a little old lady sitting there who really was not guilty of a terrible sin. But she got caught up in the excitement and wanted to participate. She leaped to her feet and shouted aloud, "I ain't been doing anything, but God has gotten a hold of me and I am going to quit it." Well, that's good, isn't it? That and we need a good laugh. Laughing is good for the soul. And God has a big sense of humor. He deals with me. He's got to have a sense of humor. And guess what? He's got to deal with you. So you got to have a sense of humor. And I'm grateful for that. And so sometimes we just need to relax a little bit and just laugh a little bit, smile a little bit, and get along together. And God will bless us for that. What exactly does that word church mean? Well, in the original language, it means set apart, called out. In the early church, as recorded in this text, there is no doubt as to its meaning. The early church was spirit-filled and spirit-led. It was solid, sound, and strong in its foundation. Recently, I read this article titled, "The Perfect Church." I've always wanted to be a member of the perfect church. I think I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always serve, and none is proud, and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. Are you making Barnby's Grove the best you can? I believe so. And I can feel God's presence here. I can feel His warmth. I can feel His love. And I have a sweet, sweet spirit amongst you. And we've already had some good fellowship. And I love that, don't you? And that's what makes it so good. I love the church. God loved the church too. God loved it so much that He gave it His only begotten Son. I couldn't do that. I got two sons. A few years ago, Brother Jerry, my youngest son, had that big main artery that comes from the heart into your stomach, ruptured. And he was in ICU in Concord, and we didn't think he was going to make it. The heart doctor said it's touch and go here, folks. I love my sons. And my oldest son, just he and I went into that ICU room. And my oldest son, Marcus, we were standing by the bedside. I won't never forget this. And my oldest son said, "Little brother, can I pray for you?" I've never heard such a beautiful prayer in all my life. We all three wept and we cried. And we hugged each other and loved on each other. God heard his prayer. I believe that in all my heart. He heard our prayers and others who were praying for Chris. And God healed him, just like he's brought you through some tough times, Jerry. Today, he's very healthy. He just got a big promotion with AT&T, and he's doing well. But I won't forget it, Leonard. No, you can't forget that. I love my family. I love to go to church. I love singing. I ain't no good at it. I ain't no good at it. Did I say that? I ain't no good at it. Praising and shouting unto the Lord. Like my little preacher man Stoney says so often, let's shout it out and have a good time together. Ladies and gentlemen, I would say to you, our time's running out and we need to enjoy our journey more so than we've ever had in our life. And so let's finish well and cross the line. Jesus will welcome us home and we'll enter into His glory and into His presence forever. What a day that'll be when the saints go marching in to the holy city of Zion. We'll be home. We'll be home. Home at last. Home at last. Have you ever heard that before? Let me tell you something. Going home is not a bad idea. Amen. Sometimes we just need to go past the hour. Vince Havner used to say, and I quote, church services start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. It doesn't have to be that way, Barbie's Grove. Amen. A young teenage girl told me one time, Pastor Darrell, we need to let go, loosen up, and let God have His way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great preacher one time, Dr. Randall Jones, he's now in his high 80s. I believe he's still living. We talked a few years ago. We haven't talked since then. I have him in revival when I was pastoring in Concord. And he preached a sermon in Revelation titled, Hallelujah, Amen. Boy, did he preach with such an anointing. And every now and then he just had to stop and say, Hallelujah, Amen. Did anybody feel that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Amen. And so we need to understand. And I get a little excited sometimes to share with you. And I want to share with you a few things today. And I've got to move quickly here. That clock's moving faster than I am. And so, but I want to get it in. In verses 41 and 47, we see the first century church. The church was growing. What in the world is going on over there at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem? Let me answer your question. The preacher was preaching the word and God's people were getting saved. They had it together. Amen. How did they do that? Well, these verses say they gladly. That means they were shining and they were receiving the word with a happy heart. Man, I'm telling you, in these last few years, I've had a few heart situations and had to have myself shocked and get it back to where it needed to be. And I don't know if it'd ever be the same. And but I'm blessed and I'm happy. And but I know that even when the heart, physical heart, but my heart for Jesus is still explosive. And I'm excited about that. And they responded to the word. We need that. They rejoiced because 3,000 souls got saved. They continued to grow daily, according to verse 47. Well, the church was not only growing, the church was grounded. They were rooted in the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if we root ourselves and stay established in the Word and stay faithful and fight, we'll finish well. And so we've got to ground ourselves the same way in the doctrinal teaching of God's Word based on verses 42 through 44. This was a teaching congregation where God's bright and beautiful saints were excited, enthusiastic about learning Bible, biblical principles. Well, what did they learn? Well, they learned some very important things. Number one, they learned to have fellowship one with another. They loved each other. John used that word so much with such great compassion. Let us love one another, Barbie's Grove. I love you and you can love me. Amen? Amen. And I'm here to minister to you. And so we can all stay strong and healthy in God's work and God's relationship and love each other. They had great fear and God was blessing them. They had breakfast. They were breaking bread together. Amen. The prayers of the saints were going up, verse 42. The fear and respect of God upon every soul, verse 43. They learned the value of church unity in verse 44. Man, they were unified. They were together. And be honest with you, the only name I really remembered that was Leonard's, and bless God, he forgot mine. But I knew when I saw him, that's Leonard. And I was Ron. But he greeted me with such a sweet spirit. And you do, Leonard. You have a sweet countenance of God on you. No problem. We are learning together, amen. That's deep respect. Amen. Right, Brother Jerry? All right, let's move along here. They learned that value, and that's so important. The church was giving in many ways. Verses 45 through 47. They gave to those in need. They gave of their time. They were faithful to their church. Amen. And I'll be glad someday when God removes this COVID fright and scare from us, and we'll see all your folks come back and be in worship again in the house of God. They gave praises unto God. We must never stop praising God. Amen. Jerry was praising him a while ago, thanking him for what he's brought Jerry through. And God wants us to be at our best. And I praise for God. I praise God for that. Listen to Dr. David Jeremiah this morning. He was talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so worship could not happen unless the Holy Spirit was there. And it's here today in me and in you. And I cherish that. I cherish the old rugged cross. I cherish our United States flag of America. I believe in what it stands for, old glory. God forbid for these who want to burn it in our own United States of America. I say to them people, if they don't like being an American and they don't like the United States of America, let them pack their bags and go to a country that they can do all that evil stuff. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Joshua made it pretty clear. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, I'm almost done. I like that part. Somebody say amen. And I'm not going to charge you no more. Who said that? I heard a sharp amen there. They gave favor to all the people, verse 47. The Holy Spirit really spoke that day. He spoke to my heart on my day of salvation. For the first time in my life as a little 9-year-old boy, I was happy. I was holy and healthy in the arms of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Advanced forward at age 73, I'm still happy. I'm still holy. And I'm still pretty healthy. I'm almost home. It's a joy to give. Pastor Max Lucado, I've read many of his books. One of those books titled John 3:16. Some of y'all may have read that book. But, oh my goodness. But he said, and shared the following story, and I quote, I once knew an extremely courageous lady. She was courageous for several reasons. For one thing, she was waging an uphill battle against alcoholism. For another, she was doing all she could do to restore her relationship with God. It's tough to start over. It's even tougher to start over when people won't let you, and people don't like you, and people won't forgive you. She chose a small church to attend, a church where she knew many members. She thought she would be received there. One Sunday, she parked her car near the church building and got out. As she walked toward the front door, she overheard two ladies talking nearby. The stinging words were not meant for her ears, but she heard them anyway. How long is that alcoholic going to hang around here? Are y'all listening to me? God's in the recovery business. God's in the restoration business. God's in the rescue business. God's in the healing business. God's in the saving business. God's in the keeping business. Matter of fact, God owns my business. And I don't want to be about somebody else's business, do you? God help us, church, to control our tongues and what we say. It can be a dangerous enemy to us. She turned and went back to the car. She never entered another church building until she died. Those ladies meant no harm, yet seemingly painless gossip did an irreparable damage. If you can't say something good about a person, then just be quiet and don't say anything at all. Can somebody in the Barbies Grove Baptist Church say amen? Amen. I say again from my heart to yours, church. This was a church that had it all together over 2,000 years ago. We've come to the 21st century, and we must bring our church back alive. The first century church, they were growing, they were going, they were giving, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praise the Lord. They were having real, genuine, authentic church worship. I want to close on a very positive note. Honestly, I can say in my heart, that the church I've preached about here today is the kind of church that I want to stay a member of. And God's given me that privilege, even here today, right now, to be a part of that. I truly praise God and thank Him for so very much in leading me and my wife to a great ministry for over 40 years. We just recently celebrated 51 years, and I think 52 here, I heard. 51 years, and here's what she still says some things about me. When are you going to listen to me? She said, when are you going to put your hearing aids in? Well, I got her the other day, Jerry. She said that, and I said, honey, look around here. I got my hearing aids in. Oh, well, you still got selective hearing. You can't win, man. Just say, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. She's the best thing ever happened to me other than Jesus. She lays out my clothes. She does everything for me. We are a family. And we're God's family. Sharing our lives and our ministries. And to be here today to share a portion with you. To encourage you and lift you up. I want God to continue to bless you in a mighty, mighty way. Christ wants you to be all you can be. And He wants you to allow Him to be the center of all your life. All you are for Him. Keep on singing. Keep on preaching. Amen. Keep on praising. Keep on shouting and singing for the Lord in His church. We can't hardly wait. I can't hardly wait from one service to another. This past church year, God has blessed me so much to let me move around in these surrounding counties, preaching the gospel and hearing some of them say, you have such a great love for Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of that. I said I'm not ashamed of that. God bless you, Barbies Grove, and your wonderful church family, as you continue to grow, go and give with your loving Pastor Ed and his beautiful wife, Pam. They are a wonderful family for Jesus. And our friendship is not for sale. And I invite you to come today. If your heart is heavy, or you struggling with any issues, come to this altar and kneel and give it all to Jesus. All to Him we owe. All to Him we owe. Timely. We're slipping away. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm going to be better when I get over on the other side. Well, I see you there, Jerry. Well, I see you there, Bobby. Well, I see you there, church. Brother Leonard. If you can't say yes to that or a thumbs up, I invite you to come to this place where you'll meet the greatest and the most fabulous and the greatest champion of the world. Boy, God is just leaping on me here. And I ask Him, Lord, keep me near You, and don't let me say anything that would hurt or harm You today, God. Let me love Barbie Scrope. God, let me do that. Let me see an old time friend. I thought he'd died on me. Not yet. Not yet. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. This is church. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Leonard. Let us pray. Father God, thank You for such a sweet spirit. Thank You for Your wonderful, powerful, amazing grace. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your presence here today. Your power, Your passion, and Your dear people. Thank You for that makes up the true church, the born, Spirit-filled believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And until we meet again, may God bless this church, this community. God bless our great nation. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Brother Leonard.
Thank you, Brother Darrell. That was wonderful, and our hearts are touched, and the words that you said, there we apply them to our hearts and our lives today, and we thank You for being here. Thank You for coming. Thank You for the love of the Lord that You showed today.